Okay, this week's Shaila, interesting, first time somebody asked me a question yesterday, and I actually had the exact same question the day before over the course of Shabbos. What do you do if you need Lecha Mishnah? You need two rolls, let's say, for Shal Shudas, and you only have one Challah roll. You need a second one. It could be it's a Doraisa, simply understood. Lecha Mishnah is a din Doraisa because the notion of having the double portion of mun is the source of why we have the two pieces of bread, two loaves, two challahs at the meal. So the person only had one challah roll, and they want to know, for number two, the following options: matzah or a roll from the freezer. Okay? So, fascinating question. What are the sides of the question? So matzah normally is a perfect option, except if you happen to be in the month of Nisan, and you don't eat matzah close to Pesach. Some people stop eating matzah by Purim time. Well, what's the problem with the frozen challah? Okay, so that's a good question. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach and others in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasim, Shlomo Zalman is quoted in discussing this topic. The problem with frozen bread could be that it's not royal achila, right? If you had a stale, moldy bread, you know, you wouldn't want to use that for Lecha Mishnah. What if instead you had something which was essentially edible, but it was frozen solid in that regard? Okay, so it's not edible in that way. Those were the considerations. A related shaila that comes up is what do you do if the only challah you have is a challah you borrowed from somebody? Okay, we do this all the time at in camps and schools and Shabbatons. They put one challah roll on every plate. Right? And you borrow from the other guy, you know, put two together, make a motzi, and then pass it back to the other one. So in the question that's discussed in the poskim, what if I realize I'm about to make a motzi, and I don't have my second roll, so I go next door to my friend, and I ask him, can I borrow a challah roll, knowing that I don't have permission to eat, I got to bring it back to him. Okay, now, if he's generous and gives it to you and lets you have it, that's fine, but can you use a second roll that doesn't have, that you don't have permission to partake of? Reminds me of a related issue. We have an Eruv. Every community has an Eruv. So the Eruv is in my office. It's a big box of matzahs still here from Rabbi Weiss. And the concept of the box of matzahs is that after we've created a structure that surrounds the entire community of the town with Tzuras HaPesach, with walls, with strings, whatever it may be, so then that potentially makes everything like one big domain. Okay? But the only thing that's missing, even after we've established it as one single domain, is we have to show something which demonstrates that we have a connection. What do I have to do with the other guy, you know, on the other side of town? So the box of matzahs, you may not even know about it, is acquired on behalf of all the members, all the people, all the Jews who are going to be in Hillcrest. Whether they're here now, they're going to come later. A kinyan is performed to give every single person in town a small chelik of those matzahs. Okay, so essentially what happens is we are now eating from the same supply of food, and therefore it's as if we're one big household, so we have one giant Rishus HaYachid that covers all of Fresh Meadows. That's the concept behind it. Along similar lines, let's say you go to a hotel. For various reasons, that would still be subject to the concept of an Eruv, because in addition to your personal room where you're staying in the hotel, there's a lot of public spaces. So how do we make everyone one big group? So in those situations, you don't need a box of matzahs because we're all eating out of the same dining room anyway, right? So that is already the unifying factor that makes us like one household, because the food is coming from the same supply. But when we all eat in our individual kitchens, we have this box of matzahs that keeps everyone together. So Shefter relates that I guess the box of matzahs in his apartment building, there isn't really a simply accepted, universally accepted Eruv in Washington Heights. So each individual apartment building has its own Eruv, just like the hotel, to allow you to carry in the staircases and the lobby and so forth. So he said there was a shlamazel every week, came over, knocked on his door Friday night. He didn't have Lecha Mishnah. He had to take one of the matzahs out of the box. But it has to be that it's accessible to everyone in the community if they need to take some matzah, because otherwise it would defeat the purpose. The whole idea is to have this shared box of matzahs that unites everybody. At some point, you got to replenish the matzah if people keep taking from it every week. But the question is, can you use Lecha Mishnah that I don't have access to, I don't have a bialis over it? In that situation, you do. So which would be better to use? Take a challah out of the freezer, or should I use the matzah, which I ordinarily would not touch? So in terms of the frozen challah question in its own right, the consensus of poskim is that that's still acceptable even though it's frozen. Shlomo Zalman points out that, okay, it's not absolutely inedible. You could sink your teeth into it. It won't be so easy. But I think the real justification, which is very convincing, is that maybe your meal is going to start with an icy challah. But by the time the meal is over, wait half an hour. It happens to be challah of all things. In my experience, it defrosts pretty quickly. So if you give it a half an hour, give it 45 minutes, it'll pretty much be as soft as any other challah you're waiting for. So I'm not sure that that would be an obstruction, the fact that it is, in the words of Shlomo Zalman, b'sho shalechem kosha ke'even v'lo roi lachila, eino yochel etzarif lelechem mishnah. It's absolutely inedible. Okay, but by the time the meal has ensued for a little while, it will certainly be edible. In terms of not owning it, so this is also a big chiddush. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, why should we be so makbid that you own this challah, that you can take part in it and not have to, you know, worry about giving it back to someone else? So he suggested maybe it has to be like the man in the midbar. When the man would fall, this double portion, so it landed at your front door, hopefully, and everyone, you know, was able to eat of whatever was delivered to them. But the miracle of the man, that you got a double portion, did not relate to someone else's portion, right? It was a miracle that you got a double portion, not that I had to rely on another person, on my neighbor, to fill in the gaps. Okay, but as Rav Moshe Shturmbach says, so where do you draw the line? You know how much man they got? The man was the equivalent. We learned from the man the shear, the minimum amount that's necessary for hafroshes challah, which is, you know, I don't know, or the, you know, like a 5-pound bag is chayiv in hafroshes challah. Okay, maybe it's not necessarily that much, but it's a lot. It's a lot of bread. Right, you have two challah rolls, you're okay. You know, so we obviously don't take that comparison. It's a zecher to the man, but it's not supposed to be, you know, 100% exactly the same. We don't require that standard. So as a result, to show you that you got a double portion, it's not expected to be exactly. The only thing he says could be what would be more of a hakpada. You'll see some people, When they cut the challah, they cut dafka through both breads, both loaves. Okay, that is the opinion of the Rajba, opinion of the Vilna Gaon, based on Kabbalah, but also it relates very very closely to what we're used to, right? In the Beis Hamikdash, how many breads were there? 12. And where were they eaten? On Shabbos. Okay, Shabbos to Shabbos. That's when they switch them. If you have two loaves at every meal, 2 times 3 is 6, cut in half is 12. Not a coincidence. There is a principle that relates those two numbers. So the number 12 is significant. So he said if you have to cut through the both challahs, you'll see some people do that. Some people have that practice. So then obviously you need to be able to cut through both challahs. You can't have to give the challah back to the other person. With all that, even though we can find justification for using the frozen challah for lechem mishnah, using someone else's challah for lechem mishnah, I would still say that it's better to use the matzah. In my humble opinion, why? Because even though this is, I never like the term "it's only a minhag." That's a very dangerous phrase. Only a minhag is a dangerous phrase. The significance of that term is that it's important to recognize the hierarchy of dinim. There's d'oraisa, there's d'rabbanan, and then there's minhagim. So to know that when I have to match up one versus the other, this could take precedence over something else, but not to just, you know, very easily wipe something off the table just because it's only a minhag. But in this case, not eating matzah prior to Pesach is only a minhag. Okay? Just a few exceptions. I often get this question, can I have a matzah ball during the month of Nisan? Great question. Have a matzah ball. It's matzah meal, just ground up into a million pieces, and you knead it with some oil and an egg and whatnot. 100%. You can definitely have a matzah ball during mommy's matzah balls because you could not be yotzei the mitzvah of matzah at the night of the Seder. The only thing that is restricted is that which you could use at the Seder. And to really boil it down, the only time there's an iser to eat matzah is the morning of Pesach. Erev Pesach. Okay? Oh, that's why we have this whole complicated business when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. What am I going to eat? That's the only limitation, strictly speaking, on a Darabanan level. Everything else is just a minhag. So if there are some posts when we don't like this form of lechem mishnah, which is a daraisa, I would say better for us to satisfy that that requirement across the board, according to all opinions, and relax the minhag under those circumstances. There are those who say, there's some Rishonim who say, that you cannot have matzah the night before Erev Pesach, once you do the B'tikas Chametz. Again, the accepted opinion is the morning of, some say to be machmer the night before. Chaim Soloveitchik had a raya that it's not true. Because what do we say at the Seder? Manishtan halayla zem kol leos, shebechol halaylos anu ochlim chametzu matzah. Means that every other night of the year, theoretically, you could, just like you could have chametz, you could also have matzah. That would seem to indicate that there's no night that's prohibited from eating matzah, including the night before Pesach. And again, it's something to think about that may support the position that says only in the morning does the prohibition of matzah actually begin.
Yes, sir.